right, welcome to the Minute of Eight Gang podcast. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Morning. Sunshine is beautiful.
And because we're here at Deluxe Corp, where the Social Media Breakfast Minneapolis-St. Paul was going on, we have with us two special guests, Bob Brin from Padilla Spear Beardsley. Padilla Gorilla,
yep.
The space.
Hi, guys. E-Bob on Twitter.
E-Bob. And the famous Michael Roventine.
The famous social media maestro.
Unsummit maestro.
Wow.
Well, we just had a great panel on small business and small business use of social media and so on. And let's start off. Bob, what did you think of the panel and what they covered?
I thought it was all great stuff. You know, it's good context for us. We just, a lot of reason we had a big presence here today is with this United Way launch campaign that we're putting on. And it's called the Dream Team 2010. And,
you guys are driving that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
We did, came up with a whole campaign, and then, I mean, obviously a lot of hands in it, you know, with United Way themselves and a software tool we use called Wildfire, as well as help from on the website with Clockwork here in town. But, it tied in really nicely, and because they're trying to engage small businesses, especially as the big corporate machines aren't as necessarily available for United Way as they were in the past, and so they really need to tap that long tail of communications.
So how did you get the idea for the campaign?
Well, we actually were kind of having a brainstorm a while back, and we talked about how what Tide had done with Loads of Hope, trying to, where they had a competition between four social media leaders in the social media community, and those four four teams of, I would call them social media zealots, and they were all, you know, getting people to buy t-shirts from Tide, and then the proceeds went to their program. And we thought, you know, let's get some of our local celebrities that are, especially media celebrities, that are I would call them socially active. And so that was Jason Derusha and others. And the whole thing kind of took off from there. It really gelled nicely. We were, you know, how it goes, it never comes together till the very last minute, but it did.
Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question about the technology? So I noticed that when I logged into dreamteam2010.org, which is the URL, I did notice in the address bar on my browser that it quickly went out to Wildfire and then quickly did something and then turned around and brought me back to the site, logged me into the site. And this is on my login. So I'm assuming that you're capturing maybe where I came in from or just some data about the login or what?
Yeah,
what?
I think it's a Wildfire is software that either you can set up a community on their platform or you bring their APIs into your website. You know, so if like Michael was building a website, he'd just bring those APIs in. And so what it's doing is a little bit of a redirect there out to their system to sign you in and then back to the website. I wish it was a little bit more transparent than that, but it works. So, pretty simple, actually.
Well, Michael, what did you think about the panel and about? Because I mean, you're obviously doing a lot of work and a lot. Well, why don't you just describe the kind of work that you do?
Sure.
With communications and strategy and sites and so forth, and how you with the things that you heard and maybe some things that people can do.
Absolutely, I do. In addition to full-time web design, I do a lot of freelance with small businesses. And one of the things we were really trying to accomplish with this panel was to get at some of the issues that they're struggling with. And I was actually refreshed to hear some of their challenges with social media, because I think it's something that a lot of times in the space it's easy to forget. We're especially in the social space, it's really easy to forget how far ahead of the curve, in a sense, we are in terms of the tools we use and the things we take for granted that are still useful. that still can be useful tools for business, and that that sort of orientation phase I think is overlooked probably most more than anything. So it's nice to get a reminder about the trouble they have with Twitter and the trouble that they have managing all of those assets, it gives me, I just hear opportunity when I hear that. So I was pleased with that.
Well, Phil, what did you think, too, in terms of the surprise about, you had mentioned something about the email piece. Well, you did too, Tim, but in terms of the effectiveness of the use of different methods.
Well, you know, I think the response to email pieces is kind of directly related to how easy it is to track the response. I mean, that's always one of those things that I think it's perceived as much more effective, and it probably is to some extent, because the majority of people are still using, you know, email as their primary form of communication. We, being active in this space, always feel like, oh, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and you know, Twitter especially is what everybody's using, when in actuality it's not. But so I think that there's some validity in that. You know, one of the biggest takeaways I had, the interesting concept, and I know Tim, you mentioned it and commented on it in a tweet, was the concern, is it Naomi from Sanctuary Restaurant, her concern for what we consider legacy media. And she, you know, she does a lot of social media, but she also is concerned about the future of newspapers and magazines and you know, pamphlets and that sort of thing. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, what's more interesting is that she mentioned that after saying that all the ads that she runs in those kind of publications, she can't track at all.
Right. So why? Well, I mean, you look at the print business, and for years and years and years, you know, newspaper has always talked about this pass around rate. You know, this pass around number. It's like, you know, yes, we have a subscription of say 20,000, but you know, they pass, each of those people pass it to, you know, two or three people, which is blue sky at best. You know, there's just absolutely no way to track that sort of a thing. So, but you know, again, email is easy to track, and I think social media is getting a little bit easier to track. We're seeing new tools that are coming out that are very simple to run. I mean, just simple basic Google Analytics or using a social mention or something like that online that gets you ahead of the game quite a bit. So, I thought there were some good observations. I did take issue with the, you know, the coupon. The gentleman from Peapod, Dan, mentioned, I hate coupons. Well, you know, as much as I appreciate the fact that he may hate coupons, people use coupons. People are looking for ways to save money, and coupons are an established way of saving money. And there is that perception that a coupon is helpful. And, you know, Naomi went on to say that she doesn't use coupons, she uses just little cards that have a special on them. Well, that's a coupon. I think that there are still great marketing tools out there that we've used for years that we can put in a different format and make work. I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed to tell Punch Pizza that the coupon campaign doesn't work. So, I mean, I think they all work.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, everybody, the holy grail always is be at the customer touch point. You know, you don't pay attention to cold ads on TV until you got a full head and you just feel like crap and, oh God, oh, cold remedy. Hey, maybe I should go get some Alka-Seltzer cold. That was always the traditional way of advertising and marketing. And now it's a matter of trying to be predictive about which people, which audience, who's most likely to be out and about on a Friday night in Uptown or over on Grand Avenue in St. Paul and are going to be looking and seeking for a place to eat or drink or hang out or do whatever. And if you're there at that point, or when someone's thinking about when do I go out, and that's the challenge, is how to deliver. And I think that's what was, in my view, that's what was reflected here, was how to be at that customer touch point at the right place at the right time when someone is seeking a restaurant or someone is into knitting or quilt making or whatever that darn it delivers, you know, to make sure that the right people know about you.
I think that social media gives a real opportunity. Bob, you could probably speak to this because you've worked with small businesses and very large businesses in your time with Padilla. You know, so there's a real opportunity here for basic brand building that a lot of small companies really can't afford to do. Sure, the Budweisers and Coca-Colas that have been around and established for a long time are companies that have, you know, massive war chests to do that, to protect brand and to build brand. And, you know, I think that social media offers that opportunity. It's not necessarily just about getting instant response, getting people to show up at your doorstep right this minute. There's a real opportunity to bring yourself and keep yourself top of mind for the time that they do need it.
I mean,
what do you see? What are your feelings about
it? First of all, like you mentioned, the large companies, a lot of times it's divisions of large companies that may have very small budgets. And so a lot of them are approaching it very, very much the same way, the same kind of mentality. I mean, a lot of what we talk about is the mobilization of ambassadors, you know, trying to figure out who are your zealots, you know, and I think it doesn't matter what size your company is, you're figuring out who those are and giving them the sense that, you know, they're your community, or even more than that, they're kind of the nucleus of your community, and they're the ones that you need to make them feel like they're inside the circle, you know, and everybody wants to be part of a group. At the same time, we all want to feel our group's a little bit exclusive because we're something special, and so it's kind of that interesting challenge to, you know, reward them, make them feel like an insider, and then have them also tell everybody else about it. So I think that's the real power, of course.
There was a client I had 2 years ago that was trying to grow from their current registrant base, which they had like, you know, 12,000 members, and they wanted to have a million. They wanted to hit a million within 6 months and wanted to do it through viral and buzz marketing,
the goal would be to hit a million people, or
well,
to have
because
a million...
of, Yeah, to get a million registrants. And what was interesting about that was that the only way to do that would be to leverage someone who already had significant expertise in driving that. So my job was to go out and find a provider that could, in fact, relatively guarantee something close to that number. And I ended up talking to a bunch of different firms, one of which was Steve Knox, who's the president of Tremor, a Procter & Gamble company that they were going to spin out. Remember these guys? They were going to spin them out and make them a for-profit company. And so I had about an hour interview with them, and it turned out that it would cost about $1 a registrant, so it would be about $1 million to get to a million people.
A registrant?
Yeah, yeah. In three phases, and it's a long story, but here's the punchline. The punchline is they had 250,000, you're calling them ambassadors, they called them key influencers, that were in their market space that were, for the most part, millennials, each of whom had 25 contacts on average in their close friend circles, okay? So again, this is 2 years ago. And so I was all excited when I was sort of pumping them for, well, how do you, I mean, you don't have to tell me all your secrets, but how do you go to market? How do you do this? And he said, how do you do it digitally, electronically? And he said, well, actually, we don't do anything electronically. I said, what? He said, yeah, if we have a product, we actually ship it to them with a handwritten letter. And so we have people literally handwriting letters to these 250,000 letters. Well, it depends. We slice and dice that number based on what the product is. But then we actually ship stuff to them, and everything goes snail mail. We don't do anything electronically. I said,
so
you gotta
so
be
this was back in 1967? Or
Yeah, right.
Somewhere
2 years 52? Ago.
What was it?
It was 2008. And so, but I was absolutely stunned and blown.
For the post office? Or?
No, come on. but it just stunned me that a company the size, you know, arguably the number one, aren't they the number one consumer products group company in the world, Procter & Gamble?
I would think so.
That the number one CPG company would be essentially leveraging snail mail and snail shipping versus electronic. Yeah, not that they didn't engage electronically. I mean, I'm not going to paint that picture, but their proactive stuff was to mail things out.
Did they write that out? Did they write those things out on an IBM Selectric? Is that what was the deal was?
Well, I think we lose track that we're so far ahead of the market that most of the market doesn't have a smartphone, doesn't
agree,
you know what Twitter is not probably on Facebook even. Maybe they are, but that's maybe as socially integrated as they are online. So a company like Procter & Gamble has to, I think, employ these more traditional means, you know?
It almost seems, it's kind of, I'm almost positive Procter & Gamble owns Old Spice, don't they? Didn't I read that somewhere recently? So it's interesting to hear that for 2 years ago. It seems they've almost come full circle with the new Old Spice campaign utilizing all these cutting-edge social tools.
Right.
So if I'm correct in that, at least somebody learned a lesson. Yeah,
or they hired the right agency.
Right,
did you,
exactly.
Did you
right.
say that, yeah, there's that. And did you, I think I saw a tweet from you earlier this morning, Michael, that you saw a report that Old Spice increased their business 107%.
It wasn't you. No.
Somebody made a tweet this morning, you know, because Old Spice, obviously, the Twitter and YouTube campaign that they executed. What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because my daughter is 21, my son who's 15, extremely active social media users. We were talking about the campaign, and my daughter says at the end of it, you know, about how cool the campaign was and all that kind of stuff. And she says, "Yeah, but at the end of it, it's still Old Spice."
Yeah, exactly. It still smells like my grandpa.
Yeah. I'm sure they've changed a little
bit
since
then. My grandfather died. We probably shoveled out about 83,000 bottles of Old Spice.
That's that old guy's rule factor coming back. So
yeah,
we're hip again.
So, were you hip the first time, though?
Not including it.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're too young at heart.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Overall, I thought a great session today. It was good. I was a little concerned. It took a little while to get to it.
Yeah,
got to cut down on the commercials, Michael.
We're working on it.
Yeah, it's just got
lots of big changes.
Phil, you're so grumpy about that. You know?
He is grumpy.
I am grumpy.
We didn't have a tweet wall this time.
No, there was no tweet wall. But, you know, I tell you what. You put up a wall and just do all the promo stuff on the wall.
Now, see, that's a good idea. There you go.
Poster board.
Well, you know what you should do is you should have a tweet wall, but you have control of it, so it looks like it's real tweets coming in and people are tweeting about it and they're waiting for theirs to go up, but you're really controlling it.
It's not really a tweet wall. You are in complete control.
Yeah, now, that would be really smart.
That would be anti-social media.
Well, maybe that's the point. Maybe it's anti-social media breakfast.
Well, Michael, you gave us this little tease here about big changes coming. Big changes coming. What are we talking about here? Because Rick also mentioned some growth issues too.
The biggest change is we're moving to a paid model. So we're working out the details, but it's just. Yeah.
There wasn't any fruit flying?
I thought you got through that pretty well. Glad they didn't have tomatoes on the snack table, but
Can you give us an idea of what that model is?
We're still working it out. I mean, the goal is for it to be affordable.
Right. For you, it's $5, okay?
Yeah. $5,
just kidding.
You have a press pass anyway.
No, I don't. You tilted that away from us, as I recall.
No, just you.
So
just you.
Just you.
Just me. I got it now.
Yeah, no cynical people.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is as much as we've tried to do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
It's grown to the point where we're just spending an inordinate amount of time on it, and it's harder and harder to get sponsors to cover all the costs of having such a large group meet every single month.
Yeah.
So we're still gonna have sponsors. We're gonna have a tiered approach to member paying, and have a basic free package where you can get things like the web content and the stream from the live events. We're gonna have a number of free events, but then we're also gonna have start having tiered payments for breakfasts and a number of other separate events that are paid as well.
But, so if you're in tier two, you get into the event. If you're in tier three, you get into the event and bacon.
In the VIP section.
The VIP. The velvet rope. Yes, exactly. There you go.
Well, it's got to be self-sustaining, so I think it's a no-brainer, and I don't think anybody has any problem getting that.
No, not at all. You can count on us, and you know that.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there are, part of our work with the national organization brings us in contact with coordinators from many of the other cities, and many of the other cities do charge, and they always have. So we've prided ourselves. Is that a word? Prided?
We pride ourselves.
Thank you. On being able to keep it free for so long, and it's my goal to get subsidized tiers for people who are for students and people who are unemployed, and still make it accessible. Get the information out there again. The free stream and the information online. Get the information out there, but also help cover some of the rising expenses. So. As I mentioned on stage, we're just trying to keep it transparent and bring everybody along with our process as we figure this out. The State Fair event in September will be our first paid event, which actually kind of works because you'd have to pay to get into the fair anyway.
Right.
So that's going to be our trial,
the next one is at the fair?
Yes.
September 3rd, Labor Day.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Is that Labor Day? Yeah.
Under the big tent at the State Fair.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right.
Cool.
Good. Well, I got to go out there because I haven't been able to find my John Deere hats and coveralls. anywhere. So I've been everywhere, and I got to go back out there.
Closet. They're all there.
Touche. Good one, man. That was good. Yeah, yeah. What a kidder. What a kidder. So, Tim's mad at you now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm always mad at Phil, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what?
He has the good taste of living in Lakeville, unlike yourself.
Well, two things that I really liked about today I thought were interesting, and then we should probably wrap up, I guess. But there was the discussion about small business. Then Deluxe obviously has a huge directional push towards small business. And the interesting thing is I remember being at IBM's Partner World. This is going to sound like it's coming out of left field, but IBM Partner World, like five years ago, and senior vice president of the software group got up and talked about how IBM had this huge push towards small business, and he had all the metrics up, all the slides about, you know, 58% of all jobs are driven by small business, you know, blah, 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 and went on and on and on about small business. But you never saw anything programmatically. It's like they couldn't afford to have humans go call on small business, so they were trying to find some other ways, and they did it basically through pricing models. Oh, we're going to just make it a little bit more affordable for small business. And so their definition of small business was $500 million and below. And so that their focus was, you know, on $500 million companies.
Sure.
All right, well.
That's, you know, small business.
Well, but now that we're in a time of there's so many tools we can leverage and cloud computing stuff and everything else that now it is, I think, becoming affordable to do things that are small business centric. And I thought the timing of this was really a good session.
Always glad to hear that. I thought it was weird when they asked how many people in the audience were small business owners, and so many hands were raised. That really drove home to me the relevance of this.
Well, and Don Ball, when he and I had lunch, we were talking about all kinds of different stuff. You know Don, Bob? Poco MSP?
Don Ball.
On Summit. Well, so he introduced me to his silent partner once again. His name is, I just hate this because his name escaped me again, but we got into conversations at the UN Summit about virtual officing and co-location and all the trends that are driving people toward virtualizing their value propositions and hanging out their own shingle and having their own presence and needing a place to hang their hat. And, you know, like the movie business, you might have a 3D animation company and somebody calls you and you go work on a huge, gigantic project and you make 60% of your income for the year, and then you do the other 40% by doing other projects. But once a year, you know you're going to be on a big movie. And that's, it feels like that's kind of the direction that a lot of the stuff is going in, and especially some of the work that a lot of people that I know here are doing as well. And you listen to what they were wrestling with, and it's the same sort of thing. Is we have this value, and here we are, and how do we get that out, and how do we attract people to come to us? And a lot of need.
On the next social media breakfast in September at the State Fair, do you have a theme yet?
No, not that we can discuss.
Okay. I'd say bacon on a stick would be good.
That's okay. A strong
cheese making, yep. Something like that. Absolutely. You know, something agricultural, I guess.
Yep, we're taking August off, so we can get a bunch of these moving pieces more planned out. So we'll have lots more information very soon.
Well, I have a new tagline for SMB: the anti-obesity group. So okay. We're
because of the obesity.
Because of the bacon and the
we can
muffins
edit this out,
and
that's okay.
Right. Oh my god,
that one didn't work.
Cut that out. Okay,
yeah, all right.
One thing we will do is briefly just bring back around the Dream Team United Way.
Yes.
Dream Team program and talk about the results quickly.
Great.
And
great.
So, you know, because we just thought it would be so perfect for this group to kick it off, and yeah. So appreciate all your support on that.
Absolutely. We got signed up.
Cool.
Yep.
So good deal.
All right. Well,
what else
thanks.
Is coming up? No, we got a couple of things coming up next week, don't we?
You're right. What was the meetup, Michael?
St. Paul Tweet Up.
St. Paul Tweet Up.
Tweet Up.
That's all I have. I can't remember where it is.
I think it's Monday. It's Monday night.
It's Monday night. Yes. I know that much.
And then Paul DeBettings, Minnesota Headhunters, got something.
Yeah, he's got the Recruiters Conference, which is a paid conference.
I'll put both of these in the show notes.
And then from what I understand...
And that's on the 30th.
We know, Steve pointed out that Deluxe Corporation has some job openings. They have job openings.
Right,
We're all curious if they will actually fill them. Yeah. So, yes, they have job openings, but are they hiring? That is always the question.
That's always the question.
So, of anybody. But yeah. Thanks very much to Deluxe for putting on a great
event. Oh, this has been fabulous.
They always do it.
They knock themselves out. So. Just did a great
job. I'm challenging Deluxe, though, to make a... You know, they always have the best swag, remember, when you come to these things. I'm challenging Deluxe to come up with a water bottle that you can put in the dishwasher. No. That's the important thing. That's what we want.
You need to see what... Phil, you need to see what happened to mine.
We need you to come up with one.
I know.
We need... So it kind of turned into like a shrinky dink?
That's an Nathan Hyde.
There we go.
It's fabulous. The cap didn't change. The threads on the neck didn't change. Everything else just went. Awesome. The logo's perfectly identifiable.
There you go.
In the future, just a suggestion. You know those gold dollar coins? This would hold quite a few. So if you fill them all up
with gold dollar coins, even better.
That would be good. Yeah. Just a suggestion.
Sounds like a deal.
Ping pong balls or
TVs. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks very much, you guys.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks.
Enjoy the weekend. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.